I am a grateful believer and a disciple of Jesus Christ, and through his strength, we are celebrating recovery from chemical addiction, shame, and guilt. But at times, I still struggle with anger, control, and the sin that lives within me. My name is Chuck. I was born in Portland, Oregon, the youngest of three children. When I was five, I got very sick, and I saw a lot of different doctors from all across the West Coast. I was in and out of hospitals quite often. The last couple of years, no one knew what was wrong. During this time, my mom and dad were searching for the perfect church. By the time I was 12, we had attended three different churches. I went to Sunday school and was exposed to the Bible and the love that Jesus has for us all. I will never forget that day that God touched me and healed me. That next week, when my mom had taken me to the doctor, they could not find anything wrong. They were amazed. Everything in my digestive system had been healed. Praise God. Looking back in that rearview mirror of life, God's words were just as true then as they are today. God has said, "Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you." And he is not. So all is good. We're going to church as a family. We were baptized, but something was wrong. My parents didn't drink or use drugs, but I know that the family was hiding a secret. Dad was not home much. Mom told me that he started a second job and that he'd be working late and on weekends. My oldest sister, who was 19, got into a big fight with my mom and moved out. Something was going on because no one was talking to each other. Over the next few years, my life would change drastically. I would enter into a world of shame, guilt, lust, selfishness that would overtake me like a raging inferno. We moved from Gresham to a southeast Portland home. This was quite a big change for me, from living in the country with all my friends to living in a crowded city with no friends. I would hear Dad come home sometimes late at night. He and Mom would get into an argument. And then one night at the age of 13, when I was asleep, my dad came into my room and molested me. I learned that that was the reason my oldest sister had moved out. This happened a couple of more times over the next year or so. That fear I had experienced was quickly transformed into pleasure, shame, and guilt. From that experience, I learned to masturbate, and the fire of self-pleasure was starting to overtake me. I buried this deep inside of me and did not tell anyone about it until my mom had passed away in 1996. At the age of 14, my parents divorced. A friend of the family set my mom up in a small restaurant. I would help her out after school and on weekends. After that, I saw my dad very little until he died. The shame and the guilt that I had suffered inside of me for so many years was not caused by my dad, but rather from the pleasure that I had felt. While Mom worked long hours, I had a lot of idle time. One day I went over to my friend's house, but he wasn't home. His sister invited me in, and she would introduce me to pot, cocaine, and some sex. It was not long, very long after that experience, that a patron of my mom's restaurant told me that he'd lined up a couple of girls for a Saturday night and wanted to know if I would join him. Well, of course, I said sure. He picked me up. When we got to the hotel room, he molested me. Now imagine the shame and the guilt I was experiencing. But at the same time, that fire of self-pleasure was now turning into an out-of-control, raging inferno. I did find that by smoking pot, it would block out some of the shame and the guilt I was feeling, so I made sure that my supply of pot was always available. My life over the next 30 years plus would be full of sex, drugs, rock and roll, doing whatever I wanted to do, and not caring about anyone else. It was all about me. A couple of years ago, I was reading the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, and in chapter 1, Paul was describing my past life that was written nearly 2,000 years ago. Here it is in my own words, starting in verse 22. For although I knew God, I neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But my thinking became futile, and my foolish heart was darkened. Although I claimed to be wise, I had become a fool. Therefore, God gave me over to my sinful desires of my heart, to sexual impurities with one another. I worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. I remember that I would seek out my dope daily, and that I was worshiping a created thing. Since I did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge that I had learned in Sunday school, God gave me over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. I had become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, full of envy, full of anger and deceit. I would gossip about other people, I would slander them, and I was very arrogant and boastful about myself. This was me, and I was the center of my universe. Looking back at the good times were when I had managed to get myself so deep into drugs and self-pity that I would take my Bible off the shelf and blow off the dust and start to reach out to God by reading his word and in prayer. Things would get better. Then I would quit reaching out to him again. In March of 1973, my high school sweetheart, I married my high school sweetheart. In October of 1973, our first son was born. I was 19. In April of 1976, our second son was born. Now God has blessed us with two beautiful children, a good paying job, a new car, a nice apartment, but I did not see any of that. I was still smoking pot daily, arguing and fighting. I was very abusive to my wife. I did not respect the hard work that she had put into raising our boys. I still had an attitude of, what have you done for me? I was not a good husband. I lied to her, I cheated on her, and I was disrespectful to her. We divorced in 1979. Again, still living in denial, it wasn't my fault. I moved into a house with two other guys, a party house. This is when I started smoking cigarettes, taking different types of drugs, and continuing to use people. My boys and their mom, they moved out of the state. Life had hit bottom once again. I still had a job, but deep in debt. I moved in with family, and I dusted off God again and asked him to help me. And as true as he is, things got better. God got me out of debt, got me off drugs temporarily. My boys and their mom had moved back, and I started to see them on a regular schedule. Still in denial for almost 2 years, but taking credit for the positive change that God was doing in me. What a proud and arrogant fool I was. It would still be another 25 years of self-will before I would surrender my life to Christ. In 1981, I met my second wife. We attended a small church in Oregon City. We went through a marriage class, we bought a house, and in 1983, our first child was born. It's a boy. Things were good, except for one thing. I still did not know the true meaning of love. I was still looking out for me. We had our second child, a girl. I was so happy. I had just started a new job, and my wife was still working. It was a messed up schedule. We stopped going to church. I was slipping back into my old habits, smoking pot, doing some coke. I thought I was in control. But this is not what Jesus tells me in Luke 11:23. Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." God has given me the freedom to choose, and I'm still choosing my own way. Destroying another marriage, my wife came to me one day and said, "I don't want to be married to you anymore." The divorce was very ugly. So what did I do? I turned back to drugs to numb the pain. Things went from bad to worse. I spent five days in jail for not complying with a support order, full of rage, anger, self-pity, and I was broke. I had lost my job, feeling isolated and very alone. I sold my home in Oregon City and moved into a small apartment. I got a new job, the one I still have today. Somehow, I passed the drug screening process, and it had to be God's hand with that. One day after work, I was on my way home, and I stopped at the West Lynn rest area to wait out an accident on 217. While I was taking a little nap, a police officer tapped on my window. I was arrested for possession of a controlled substance. While I was sitting in jail, God revealed to me that if this event would have taken place a week earlier when I had more drugs in my possession, I would be spending a lot more time in jail. So, once again, I turned to God to get me out of my mess. I knew that He would be there because Hebrews 13:5, God has said, "Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you." So I got involved in an NA program 2 days a week, and with God's help, I have been free of that bondage of cocaine and meth since August of 1996. But I'm still self-willed and thinking that I was in control. I was still smoking pot and slipping back into my old ways of thinking. You know, I can do this on my own. Once again, it's all about me. Denial. That attitude was very destructive to the ones I love, and they were the ones that I had hurt the most. In 2001, God arranged a meeting between me and my lovely wife. We had been working at the same facility for over 10 years and had never seen each other until that day. However, I was still holding on to some old hurts, habits, and hang-ups. In 2007, I got a call from my oldest son. His mom had just passed away from an overdose of prescription pain meds. She was only 48. At the funeral, my son asked me one of the toughest questions I've ever had to answer. Did I think that Mom had gone to heaven? I instantly replied, "Of course she did," with tears running down my face. That was the biggest wake-up call ever. After the funeral, I told my lovely wife that I'm going to make every change God wants in my life. So then when He calls me home, no one will need to ask that question. In 2009, I was starting to slip back into one of those low points in my life. My wife and I, we were growing apart. I was smoking pot daily, mad at the world, full of anger and rage and self-pity. However, on May 4th, 2009, it happened. I got rid of the pot. I got on my knees and I surrendered. I gave my selfish heart to God, but this time it was different. I didn't ask God to fix my mess. I asked Him to fix the real problem, me. For the first time in my life, I reached out and I took a hold of God's hand, and I asked God to bring one good Christian man into my life, and I would commit myself to becoming an authentic, grateful believer who would turn my life over to God's care and control. Well, praise God. Guess what He did? He encouraged me to go to Rolling Hills one Sunday morning. However, there was still something missing. Those deep roots of shame, guilt, and feeling unworthy of God's love were still popping up, kind of like when you pull the flower off of a dandelion and the root is still there, the flower grows back. It wasn't until I stepped through those doors into Celebrate Recovery, the best place to be on a Wednesday night, a little scared and not knowing what to expect, but I just trusted God's lead. After a couple of meetings, I knew that I had found a safe place. In June of 2012, I joined a step study, and that was when I started to find freedom. With the help of the Holy Spirit and many of you here tonight, I have been able to step out of my denial and step into God's grace. I finally, after so many years, I realized I'm not God. I admitted I was powerless to control my tendencies to do the wrong thing and that my life was unmanageable. Romans 7:18 says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. We, God and I, are continuing to take an ongoing, honest, and spiritual inventory of me. I have, with God's help, openly examined and confessed my faults to myself, to God, to my wife, and to my sponsor, whom I trust. For me, this is just the beginning of my journey, agreeing with God on a daily basis and trusting Him to lead me. On January 20th, 2013, I rededicated my life to Christ, and I had the privilege of baptizing my wife. On May 17th, 2013, I became a co-leader of a 12-step study inside Columbia River Correctional Institution. On August 23rd, I became a leader of a 12-step study inside Columbia River, currently leading my third step study at CRCI. Now, I'm not perfect, but Christ is. God is still working on me. I'm going to fall down, but with my Savior's help, I can get back up, brush myself off, and continue to try again. Today, God has set the stage for me to yield myself to Him, to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. Matthew 10:18 neatly sums this up. Freely you have received, freely give. God will never waste a hurt. In fact, He can take those hurts and use them to help somebody else. For the newcomers here tonight, don't wait. Life is but a whisper. No one knows what tomorrow will bring. I encourage you to reach out, take a hold of God's hand, and surrender to Him. He will not let you down. He will change your life. Trust Him. Remember, our past does not define us. It prepares us for what God wants us to become. In closing, I would like to quote what Jesus tells us in Revelation 3:20-22. Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To the ones who overcome, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." God bless all of you. Thank you for letting me share.